and Caitlin Cardinale, Robert Ring, and David Wilson are running for that. And Robert Ring is currently holding that seat. So his term is up because he was appointed to that seat. And anyhow, so for hospital board, four-year term, there's two available, Jennifer Bates and Rebecca Christensen. And the hospital, unexpired term until October 2019. Nobody put in for that seat. So the if anybody wanted to put in for a write-in, the deadline for that is Friday, September 29th at 5 o'clock. And if nobody does that, then the assembly at a meeting thereafter, the certification of the election, will appoint somebody for a one-year term after a letter of submission, a letter of intent. So absentee voting starts September 18th at 9 o'clock here at City Hall. And I just encourage people to come out and vote on October 3rd at the Nolan Center from 8 to 8. And it's really important. So,
any questions, comments?
Mr. Mayor, may I have a slight do-over?
Pardon me?
I said, may I have a slight do-over to my report?
Certainly.
So included or attached to the borough manager's report in your packet was a report from Amber, the public works director. And there is a number of pieces of good information in there. But the thing I wanted to recognize publicly on the radio is that Search completed the paving of the access road to the clinic, and that was Borough Road at no cost to the borough. And so I just wanted to publicly thank Search for including that in their project, and you know that community benefit is huge. So thank you to them.
I've been up there several times, and that's really nice. Thank you. Next item is Mayor Assembly reports and appointments. Does any Assembly member have any reports? Yes, Julie.
I just wanted to mention that the Alaska Congressional Delegation has introduced companion bills called the Young Fisherman Development Act, and it's basically to create a national program around workforce development and training for young fishermen. I asked the staff to put it on the agenda in one of the upcoming meetings, so we'll look at, you know, potentially supporting that. But from my feedback, it's, you know, relatively uncontroversial and a positive thing. It put basically $2 million from federal fishery fines and put that into the workforce development training program.
Thank you. Yes.
I just like to make a comment regarding the last meeting that I was unfortunately not here for, but did listen to. I was concerned about a couple of the statements that were made by folks from the audience regarding, or I guess really only one person, but regarding the Borough Assembly not involving the our federally recognized tribe in the selection of the monofill site. And I think there was something really missed that I always wish I was here to say. We didn't know where that site was going. We were never consulted. This borough assembly was not consulted. When we were consulted was one time when Amber and the woman, and I don't remember her name, came forward. They had three sites that they threw out at the borough assembly. The first one was the running track. We said, that's a dumb idea. The second one, they said, was out the spur road. We said, well, that's equally as dumb. And the third one, they said, is perhaps a state pit out the road somewhere. We'll get back to you. They never came back. So the borough assembly was in the dark as much as anybody else in this community. I can't speak for the staff or anything that goes on beyond. But as far as I knew, the first time that I found out that that was the site was when I was walking my dogs and I passed a man cementing a gate in out there, and I asked him, why are you blocking off the pit? And he said, oh, this is where we're dumping all the stuff from the thing. That's the first time I found out. So I think it's really important. And I had gone and met with the tribe, with Dan Ortiz, that day and had explained to them that, as far as I'm concerned, we had no idea about where this was going. Nobody ever consulted with us and nothing was written. The second thing is, there was no public process on this. They keep saying we consulted with the borough assembly and we consulted here and we consulted there. They came the one time, told us their two stupid ideas and one potential, never came back. If that's consultation, I've got a real problem with that. So if people feel in the dark, you have every right to feel in the dark. That was a crappy process. It should never have gone down that way, and it did. And the community has every right to be upset about it. Now, I'm hoping that we can take some step backwards and remediate what happened there, but this assembly was not consulted. I won't, and again, I can't speak for any other entities within the city government or the city administration. That's all I want to say on that.
Any other reports or comments? We have one item open for appointment. That's the Inter-Island Ferry Authority representative from June 30th, 2021. Is there any interest in anyone being on that? Any member of the audience interested? Oh, are you interested?
Yeah, I am.
Okay.
That was one of the goals that I wanted to state last night, is transportation. So yes, I will gladly serve on that.
Okay, thank you. Consider yourself appointed.
Thank you. I'll be in contact.
Consider yourself wrangled.
I would like to make a comment here, too, about the last regular meeting. And I owe an apology to Jamie Roberts. I understand that she thought I was talking to her when about being out of order, and that was not a fact. But if you thought it was, I certainly apologize. I was actually talking to David Powell, who is an assembly member, and it was inappropriate, and he was aware of that, and he did apologize also. But I do apologize to you. That was in public, and I will bring that up now in public.
Do I have an opportunity to respond?
Under persons to be heard.
Okay,
please.
Yes, you can, under persons to be heard, which is the next item.
Where do I sign? This thing?
Yes.
We also have two other appointments or solicitation for letters of interest. Is on the Wrangell Medical Center board appointment October 2017. There were no letters of interest received for this seat. And it's coming up on the election, so there's not much point in advertising for that. Another is a Planning and Zoning Board appointment for received from October 2019. There were no letters of interest received for this seat. Is there anyone that has an interest in being on that board? We'll continue to advertise for that. Next item is persons to be heard. Mary Campbell would like to speak on Senator Dan Sullivan's letter. If you'd step to the podium there and state your name and address for the record, please.
Yes, my name is Mary Campbell, and I live at 224 Reed Street, number 1. And the reason I had put my name here is because I was assuming that I knew what Senator Dan Sullivan was going to say in his letter regarding the Affordable Care Act. But I have not read that letter, so it's inappropriate for me to respond somehow.
Thank you. Mr. Steve Brzezinski has some comments he'd like to make as a private citizen on IBEW.
Good evening, Mr. Mayor, Steve Persuck at 327 First Avenue. Good evening, Mayor and Assembly. I'm speaking under purpose to be heard as I felt there was no formal mechanism for me to publicly express my concerns regarding the completed talks with the IBEW. I'd like to first explain to the community why the Assembly was so careful with what we stated publicly regarding our concerns, opinions during the negotiation process, and subsequent strike action. This was on direct advice from the borough attorney, and I believe this was prudent counsel given that we had just been to court with the IBEW over a long legal dispute concerning arbitration. The union wanted to force the borough into arbitration with terms and conditions that would have been unfair to the borough. The borough had to fight against this so that it would not be subjected to unfair arbitration tactics by the union and the arbitrator. The borough was successful in court, as well as in coming to a settlement agreement. But this took a lot of public money to resolve and added months onto the already protracted negotiations that were placed on hold during this time. I had several members of the union complain to me that we were wasting money on lawyers. Of course, the irony of this was that the IBEW had forced the city into a defensive stance, and in the end, we were just defending our right to fair process. If I or any of my borough colleagues appeared overly cautious in talking about this, it was out of concern that we would again be forced to defend ourselves if we misspoke. We were also informed that the Assembly needed to not engage in the negotiation process. The Assembly was required to vote on the contract and remain impartial while ensuring that any deal could be sustained financially. To this end, we were provided with no management updates prior to the original last and best offer from the IBEW. This was actually a term that was negotiated and put in place by the IBEW and our management team. It was disconcerting to me that I was being contacted by a union member who was on their negotiating team for the IBEW to discuss the proposal prior to it being presented to the Assembly. This became an ongoing strategy for the IBEW. While our management team was working in good faith all the while, providing no information to the Assembly, and of course not engaging union members in direct discussions, the IBEW was soliciting the aid of specific union members, and in particular a high-profile former politician, to directly engage Assembly members and promise with the promise of direct access to the IBEW negotiating team. This would, of course, bypass our management team and the internal structure that had been put in place. I think it's very important that the community understands that this took place. And for the record, I want to read directly into the record the transcript of the voice left messages left for me and the text message sent to me by this former politician. Steve, I hope things are going well for you. This is Mark Baggage. I can be contacted at, he states his number twice. I would love to talk to you regarding the labor issues in your community. I'd love to take a few minutes of your time. I don't want to take too much of your time, but I'd love to give you some thoughts. I had to deal with this when I was mayor and when I was on the Assembly, and I can tell you informally that I think the IBEW is a little more motivated, and I want to talk to you about that if I could. Again, I look forward to talking to you with Mark Baggage. Have a great day. Steve, have you seen the email from the union today? They will suspend their ULP to get back on the table to resolve the strike. Just want to make sure you saw it. Mark Baggage. Steve, this is Mark Baggage. IBEW sent a new offer this morning. I think they can do better, and so I've put it on the phone with them. But I wanted to let you know that I think it's really darn close to where you guys want to be. Maybe right where you want to be. Give me a call, because they are motivated to get this done today. But I think they're asking me to send the city a message on what they could take for the final offer. So if you get a chance, give me a call. I went direct, end of the text messages. I went directly to our management team, and we decided that I'd give the former Senator Baggage a return phone call. I did this with Kim and Lee present in the room. To paraphrase the short conversation, Mr. Baggage assured me that he'd be able to help us get a great deal and that we should be careful about listening to our lawyer. He also expressed to me that he was very adept at getting great deals with the union and he could help us. I thanked him for his call and never communicated with him again. My question is, how did Mr. Baggage know about the Wrangell situation? With little research, I was able to determine that he did indeed negotiate with the IBEW as mayor of Anchorage, but I also determined that the IBEW, as well as other unions, have been strident financial supporters of Mr. Baggage's political career. It was very obvious to me that he was discussing the negotiations with the IBEW reps and that he was attempting to manipulate me to pressure our management team to increase our hourly offer that the Assembly had ratified. My question is, if our negotiating team is not allowed to engage Assembly members, let alone union members, why is it appropriate that the IBEW utilizes backdoor conduits to communicate directly with Assembly members? In my opinion, the answer is it is not okay. The contract negotiation process went on for far too long, and yes, the city must take responsibility for some of these problems. We made some mistakes, and we most definitely need to do things differently moving forward. The IBEW has an entire national enterprise filled with very high-priced talent who spend all their waking hours negotiating with and litigating against their members' employers. They want the best deal possible for their members because that is the best deal for them. When workers receive a wage increase, the union benefits with a percentage increase to their own coffers. The union has no concern for how a city might pay for the demands. They are not interested in understanding the economic realities of our community. Their primary focus is securing the most while conceding the least. In the future, I believe that the city would be best served by hiring a labor attorney who is skilled in dealing with union tactics and negotiating strategies. We need to have our own team of skilled professionals who do nothing but negotiate for a living. Their only job is to get the city the best deal possible for the services the union employees provide. They fly in, they do their job, and they fly out. No motion, no worry about offending, one job, get the best deal for the city that is possible. That is exactly what we are dealing with on the other side of the table. Thank you for your time. I want to state one final thing. The IBEW we have union members here on the ground that are our neighbors, and then we have an enterprise up north that are not our neighbors. My family situation personally was jeopardized by the IBEW when they decided to post our unlisted number that has been unlisted for 20 years. We have paid to keep our number unlisted because my wife is a physician here and I was the director of a mental health program for many years. We paid a lot of money to keep our number private. Somebody, and my guess is up north, got a hold of that number and published it in the community newspaper. We can no longer have that number. So that's a part of the problem with people from out of town that maybe don't understand all the realities of the ground and the unintended consequences. Thank you.
Thank you. And Jamie Roberts.
Jamie Roberts, 11.25 miles of Mobile Highway. Apology accepted. One thing that wasn't clear to me after we met at the, was it the last meeting or maybe the meeting? Until talking with David Powell after the meeting, is it was his understanding that I was criticizing the Borough Assembly for not involving the public or federally recognized tribes. And what I was really coming to do was kind of tattle on DEC and say that I don't think they followed the correct process and that the public wasn't involved. And in saying that, I was including you all as the public as well. I didn't differentiate between city government and the public of Wrangell because you're my neighbors. So I just wanted to clarify that because it made sense after the fact, some of the comments that were directed toward me, that we had that misunderstanding and just wanted to clear that up. So thank you.
Thank you. That's all persons to be heard. Item 12 of all unfinished business, there is none. Item 13, new business. The first item is the amended item to discuss faith-based proclamations. And while this is on there, I asked for that to be on there because of a proclamation that was brought to the City Hall and asked for my signature to adopt it. And it was from a local religious organization about the founder of that organization. And it is my feeling that that is not an appropriate thing to do for several reasons. First is the Constitution, the First Amendment of the Constitution of the United States, and second, I realize this was not endorsing the religion in its entirety, but a recognition of the founder of that. And the biggest problem I have with that is there's also a religion called Satanist. And would we approve a proclamation from a person that we recognize Satan? I wouldn't. And therefore, how am I going to balance the fairness of that? That's pretty much what I have to say. Yes.
Do we have a history of faith-based proclamations?
No, in the, we don't.
Is it entrenched in our charter that we do faith-based proclamations?
Yes.
I do recommend that we develop guidelines for proclamations. There are some good guidelines out that exist. For instance, proclamations are for are not for political endorsements. They're not for for-profit entities, and not for religion. So, in there's some good guidelines out there. I think that we would be prudent to develop some guidelines.
Any other comments?
I will say, in talking to our attorney, he did say that if the assembly chose to allow it or whatnot, that it should be something that's discussed amongst the assembly and that it should become part of a procedure in our code. And I think that with Assemblymember Gilbert, with your suggestion that we develop guidelines, I think that's exactly what we're doing. So I think that's a good idea. And I've done some research too, and I found out some very good information on stuff like that. And I did check with my clerk base, and not a lot of them will approve or support faith-based proclamations. The ones that do are ones that just, they approve everything. They support everything, anything that comes to them. So, but the attorney did say that it is the prerogative of the mayor, the assembly, to support a proclamation, that it's not something that is a requirement, because it is a request. And that's what I found out.
I would like to, I know you sent me the information you had on one from Cleveland that Patty Gilbert had spoke about, and I thought that was real great. And I'd like to see that on the next agenda for discussion, possible action.
I would request, and it's totally up to you if
pardon me?
It's up to you to request if Kay Larson wants to speak, since this is something
sure,
she requested.
You brought this forward. Would you care to speak about it?
I'm not even sure what to say, because this is new for us. We've never asked. I think because of the magnitude of this celebration, 200 years from the birth of Baha'u'llah. It's a big thing, and I know worldwide this will be celebrated by communities all over. There have been proclamations from the mayor of Singapore, India, Anchorage, Nanana, Barrow. People have probably various feelings. I have no hurt feelings about this discussion at all. None of us do. And it was interesting because I Googled proclamations today. Like you said, you had done some research. So I looked them up too. And I thought, oh my goodness, there are even some steps suggested that people take when they do this. And we do have a public affairs desk in Anchorage, and we were being guided.